Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes, reporting for duty here on a Monday, ready to talk some mixed martial arts. You know, it's a unique weekend. A lot of fight cards took place this past weekend. So I think this is going to be a results-based show. We'll toss out some of the biggest news that's out there, but I want to toss out some results so you guys hear some names and, give a little bit of love to a lot of the shows out there. So buckle up, Junkie Nation. Results and news. No interviews. It's just Goes and I here with you guys on a Monday, March 14th. Goes, I was working on the rankings yesterday, and I just couldn't believe how many fight cards I had to go through. But you have to be this meticulous so you make sure you don't miss out on anything. But while doing it, I thought, you know what? I'm going to run these results past the audience so that they also can react, you know, and say, wow, okay, I got to start tuning in to this organization or to that organization. So you just hang back here for a second. Let me tell the people what happened. At Invicta FC 46 on Wednesday. Now, I know we said this on our Thursday show, but to be fair, it was an incredible week, man. It really was, with so much going on. Karina Rodriguez defended her belt at 125 pounds. I'll give a look and see if she can make it into our rankings because that's her first title defense. She defeated Diana Torquato in the main event. Great fight, went to a split decision. They fought previously for the vacant title, and now they got matched up again because of an athlete that fell out last minute. She was supposed to fight, Karina Rodriguez was supposed to fight Ketlin Souza, I believe, and Diana Torquato was supposed to fight Milana Dudieva. So we had a little bit of a switcheroo. We explained that last week. That's why they got matched up. Great fight, but Rodriguez wins. Denise Gomez defeated Milana Dudieva, who needed a new opponent. Liz Tracy defeated Danielle Taylor. Christina Williams defeated Flor Honey. Monique Andrade defeated Paulina Granado. So I know you reacted to that last weekend. No need to chime in. We talked about Eves Edwards on the broadcast. That was cool. Michelle Watterson. Unique stuff there going on with Invicta FC. We'd love to have them back on MMA Junkie midweek. Whenever they're ready, I know we'll be ready. But on Friday morning, really early, I remember telling the audience, 8:30 a.m. Eastern, 5:30 a.m. Pacific, more fights coming your way. It was one championship with Tan Lee defending his 155-pound belt versus Gary Tonin. He was successful in that title defense. He defeated Gary Tonin in the first round, 56 seconds into the fight. And that was Gary Tonin's first loss, the decorated grappler, who's become a really, really nice mixed martial artist. Like, he developed some really, really nice hands. And I think he'll be, you know, pretty good in the sport. You see a lot of jiu-jitsu guys that come over and just don't like to get hit or aren't very good at hitting. But this guy, I think, is going to be a little different. We'll see. Congrats to Tan Lee, 13-2. I got to give him some consideration there at 155 pounds. We'll see going forward what the deal is. Excuse me. This is a featherweight fight, if I'm not mistaken. They competed at 155 pounds, hydrated. John Lineker in the co-main event. He defeated Bibiano Fernandez. That was one hell of a scrap as well. And so he's now the new bantamweight champion over at ONE Championship. So he competed at a hydrated 145 pounds, but this is a bantamweight fight. Other winners were Martin Wynn over Kirill Gorobets Iraj Issa-Pour over Ismael Lunt. Adrian Matthias, defeated Alex Silva. Pernian Zhang defeated Josh Tana. Echo Ronnie Saputra defeated Chan Rothana. Iman Barlow defeated Daniela Lopez. Liam Nolan defeated Kim Kyung Lok. And Hekin Lin defeated Milagros Lopez. But those first two fights, goes, did you happen to catch either one of those two title fights on Friday morning?
I didn't catch them live, but I did have to go back and watch them. And you're right, dude. Like, oh my God. I'm kind of trying to go through my mind of how much time I spent watching. And it's not like I sat there and watched every fight, but I watched what I needed to watch. And that still took up a lot of time, dude. There was so much. And last week felt the same way, dude. Like, I really feel like by the end of like Sunday night, you're barely catching up on everything. And but yeah, that Lineker KO was pretty nasty.
It sure was. And Bibiano Fernandez has been on top for a while. He's lost the title before. He's regained it. But he's been a great champion for them in the past. Congrats to John Lineker. He fought in the UFC, but he had so much trouble making the weight and stuff. Maybe this is his home for good, where he doesn't have to worry about the brutal weight cuts that take more of the cutting out the water. It's more of a gradual, safer one. All right. So then now, Friday night, and I have to leave LFA out just for now because I don't know, we can't just spend the whole day spitting out results, but I want to focus on a lot of the ones that a lot of the organizations like Brave CF57 also took place. Sometimes they've been featuring flyweights that I need to peek at, but that wasn't happening this time. Brad Katona fought over there. I don't know if you remember him from The Ultimate Fighter. Juicy A. Formiga fought at an LFA a few weeks ago. I had to keep an eye on him. But in this case, we'll put them to the side, but they did happen. So just through, before I even start Eagle FC on Friday night and PFL, there's already been like five organizations to kind of watch and consider and look at their cards to see what, to see what's what, like Tom Selleck says. But we get to Eagle FC 46. Kevin Lee defeated Diego Sanchez. Sanchez fought admirably. Kevin Lee got a nice win. May have picked up a knock there, though, an injury that might keep him out for a while. Although, according to his social media, he says he's ready to run it. I'm sure he means when he's ready and healthy. Rizvan Kuniev defeated Anthony Hamilton. Ray Borg defeated Ricky Bandejas. Henderson Fajeda defeated Zach Jusola. Raymond Mandaliev defeated Impa Kasangai. And Ikram Aliskarov defeated Nashon Burrell. Erwin Rivera defeated Fredavs Kasanov. Archie Colgan defeated Dylan Mantello. Tyler Ray defeated Thomas Webb. Sitik Mudiev defeated Kyle Uruguay. Ryder Newman defeated Manny Wallow. So Newman was on the most recent Ultimate Fighter. A couple guys are guys we're familiar with. I know Nashon Burrell, I believe, fought at Bellator before, or maybe the UFC. I can't remember. Erwin Rivera, I remember, fought during the pandemic. We all know about Impa Kasanganai. Zach Jusola, we've seen him a lot at Extreme Couture. So a lot. It was the type of card that got my interest. Of course, Borg and Bandejas and Lee and Sanchez at the were the two cards I was really interested in. What did you think of the sophomore offering by Eagle FC, Gibbs?
I thought it was pretty decent. It was worth the watch. Diego Sanchez, the thing about Kevin Lee and Diego Sanchez that I can't really figure out is you look at Kevin Lee, and he did somewhat look a little flat for Kevin Lee, but he says he hurt his knee in round one, and that kind of makes up for everything. But at the same time, Diego was not backing off. He was fighting really well. So I don't know that it's so much, because we've seen Kevin Lee with bad knees before a fight. seen a lot of fighters with bad knees fight. Thiago Santos, who we'll get to in a minute, he fought with two bad knees and still looked pretty damn good. I'm going to probably check Mark Diego Sanchez being a tough fighter before I check Kevin Lee was hurt. I thought Diego kind of brought it for his age and just what you're supposed to expect from the guy. I thought he brought it in this fight. It was a fun card.
Completely agree. I think Eagle FC is one of those cards where when Eagle FC 47, 48, you know, when they start getting laid out, they've gained my interest. They've piqued my interest because they're bringing in, I think, a quality main event always gets things started, and then a sprinkling of fighters you're familiar with. That's the key. You do that, I'm in. Congrats to Eagle FC, though. Again, this is their second U.S. show. They've been around for a while overseas, but they got something going here in the U.S. there. All right, so then we get to UFC. UFC technically started before Bellator. Magomed Ankalaev defeated Thiago Santos. Yadong Song defeated Marlon Moraes. Sadiq Youssef defeated Alex Caceres. Khalil Roundtree defeated Carl Roberson. Drew Dober defeated Terrence McKinney. Alex Bejeda defeated Bruno Silva. Matt Semelsberger defeated AJ Fletcher. JJ Aldrich defeated Jillian Robertson. Javed Basharat defeated Trevin Jones. Damon Jackson defeated Kamuela Kirk. Miranda Maverick defeated Sabina Matzo. Cody Brundage defeated Dalcha Langyambula. Guido Canetti defeated Chris Moutinho. And Azamat Merskarov defeated Tafon Inchukwi. So where do you want to start? Well, I'll just say real quick, that flying knee, the Merskanov was amazing. Guido Quinita putting it on Moutinho. They had to stop that TKO when he was still on his feet and he was out. And then the submission by Cody Brundage over Dalcha Langyambula. That was a nice 1-2-3 punch to get the night started.
Flying knee was a bailout because that was not going his way. But I guess I want to focus on the pacing. I thought with everything going on, those first four or five fights went by so quickly. Yeah, they got a lot of finishes. That felt good. Like, just the pacing of the night. Boom, boom, fight here. Next fight. Who's next? Who's next? All that was great. I mean, overall, the card, I thought, was pretty damn good. Except it did something similar to what the last pay-per-view did. And it was, it kind of fell flat at the end. Which is what sometimes it leaves you with, that impression. But overall, I thought the night was great.
Yeah, two of the last three fights were decisions. But then in the middle of the card, they ran into a few decisions that slowed things down. But you're right, the main event, which we'll get to, just left you like, all right. Because there was high expectations. Miranda Maverick choked out Sabina Matzo. I hate to say it. Matzo, I think, lost three of her last four or something like that. She may be on the chopping block. We'll see. I don't really have a good feel for women's MMA in terms of can you survive two losses or three losses, or, you know, some of those divisions just need bodies. Sorry, she's lost three in a row, and in all of them, she's like, Alexis Davis, you know, she's got the ability to just strangle people. And by that, I mean, not necessarily like a choke. I'm just saying, like, smother someone and make you look, not only not give you the loss, not only give you the loss, but make you look awful. So she did that. And then she got choked out her last two. That might hurt Sabina Matzo's case to stick around the UFC. Miranda Maverick, you know, she needed the W and she got it. She's now 10-4, so good for her. She had lost a couple of fights too. I believe one of them was to Macy Barber. Let me see if I get this straight. I'm pulling up her record here. It's taking me a second. Sorry.
Sabina just hasn't improved. I think it comes down to, she's not a terrible fighter, but she's not getting better.
On the ground, she's awful. Aaron Blanchfield and Macy Barber, that's right. They both beat her before She got to, she won the Sabina Mazzo fight. So big, big win for Miranda Maverick. Yeah, Damon Jackson, how about him? You know, he's now won a few in a row. He's up to 20-4. He got himself a submission arm triangle. I remember this guy when he came through our studio, he just wasn't too happy with the way his career was going around. Remember the Leech goes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird because he just quietly, before you know it, you're like, wait a minute, didn't he just win his last fight? Didn't he win the one before that? Like, he just quietly comes on the scene. But, you know, I like his post-fight speech, and I like his attitude, and I think he does deserve something better here.
Yeah, he's won 3 of 4 in the since he's returned to the UFC, including the win over Mirsad Bektik. He did lose to Ilia Topuria, who hasn't lost, so no shame there, and then beating Charles Rosa, now Kamala Kirk. So congrats to the Leech. And again, 20-4 is a really, really nice record. Javid Basharat from Afghanistan defeated Trevin Jones. Little controversy here. They wouldn't let him walk out with the Afghani flag. And I looked on his shorts, and I don't think I saw anything there as well. You know, the UFC kind of tends to stay away a little bit from the political statements, but I was wondering, like, what's wrong with walking out with the Afghani flag? He's not a Taliban soldier, or he's a proud Afghani citizen. What would be the problem here? I mean, I know we were at war with them, but that's technically over now that we've pulled out. And, you know, again, the UFC's soft stance on really, you know, whether you want to applaud them or not. I'm not getting into that right now. I'm just saying they really don't take a stance on the stuff that they allow their athletes to say and or whatever. But that was apparently some of the news backstage. Just he wasn't allowed to walk out with that.
Yeah, I thought that was a little sad because I feel like if you're going to draw the line there, then you got to draw the line across the board, right? And I can't remember who it was. I think it was last week or maybe even this week. I think it was last week that wanted to walk out with was it Brian Kelleher? He wanted to walk out with a We Are One flag, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't let him do it. Yeah, if you're going to do it like that, then you got to do it all the way across the board because you're right. He didn't have anything to do with any of the conflicts that we've had. I mean, it's just where he was born. And I think CR used to do it, right? Like, so a lot of fans show up with flags.
Yeah, CR Bahar Duzada used to for sure walk out with it. And the fans were allowed to have it in the audience. If you think about it, there's been sports leagues that haven't allowed Russian teams to participate because of the war that's happening now. And what sucks is the fans and the teams miss out over something that's happening between, you know, that's way higher up than them. But... you know, I let the man walk out with his flag is all we're saying. He looked good, man. He's been training out of Extreme Couture. Congrats to Javid Basharat. J.J. Aldrich defeated Jillian Robertson. Matt Semelsberger defeated A.J. Fletcher. Alex Pajeda versus Bruno Silva. I thought Pajeda and Silva, it was good, but for some reason I thought it was going to be great. And so the fact that it was good, I was like, all right, you know, like I wasn't tweeting or running the Twitter or anything like that.
But that was pretty good. You're expecting even more?
But you want me to be honest? Because I honestly thought Silva won, for starters. Mm-hmm. But two, I'm just saying, I guess, the decision. You know, like two phenomenal strikers going to a decision, I guess, is a testament to how good they are defensively, too. But, man, with 4-ounce gloves, that shouldn't be happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. We progress through the card. Here we go. Drew Dober. He was getting jacked up, goes by Terrence McKinney, who came on 12 days' notice. And he took all those hits, came back, and put it on McKinney. He got a stoppage in the second round. And following that was Khalil Roundtree and his violent finish over Carl Roberson.
Yeah, that was no loser there in that McKinney-Dober fight. That could have very easily been stopped. That was a pretty bad beatdown in the beginning. So for Drew, I don't even really understand. Like, he looked like he was going out, and then a second later just popped up as if nothing had happened at all. And then he went on to turn the tide in that fight. Terrence McKinney, it's a tough situation because what do you do with that guy? You know, he did take it on pretty short notice, did the company a favor, and he did look pretty damn good until he didn't. So I don't know. That's that risk versus reward type thing. He's a young cat. I think he can bounce back from that. But that was a good fight. And then Khalil Roundtree, Jesus Christ. I mean, my God, you almost feel like there's a backstory behind that, you know, that we don't know about or something. He looks pretty violent, kind of looked like Wanderlei Silva at moments.
Yeah, he sure did. There's just times where Khalil Roundtree's been on the other end of it. And if you get to know Khalil Roundtree, you realize that guy's destined for a lot of stuff. He'll be success outside the octagon. He's not like in any way a thug or anything like that. So even though we might say he's terrifying or devastating or violent, you know, you use those words, he's really, really a grounded individual. But yeah, when he wins, man, it's usually in a pretty violent fashion, and he put it on Carl Roberson. He, you know, that work he's been putting on in Thailand has paid off. He's usually a member of the Syndicate gym, but he's been traveling a lot in the last few years. So anyway, this is a tough enough guy that we've seen him grow through Tough Enough, the amateur league organization. So that's why I tweeted the other day. I go, I'm just going to root for this guy. There's no way around it. I bet on him. I rooted for him. And I've just known him for a long time. So I was very, very happy for him. As far as Terrence McKinney, I want to tell you this goes. It's commendable for someone to step in on short notice. And if you need the money and you're healthy and you're young, I suppose doing it once is maybe a good decision, because if it pays off, you're really on the map. But man, don't do it because you're saving a card or you're doing a favor for the UFC. Those favors do come back to you, but the price you pay too, if you get lumped up pretty good, don't forget the UFC is a conveyor belt. If you can jump on the conveyor belt and they can ship you out, great. You know, but you can also get cut pretty quick too. If that's the first one of a 3-fight losing streak, you know, you can also get cut pretty well too. And, you know, especially if you get damaged. So make sure a lot of these decisions are based as a professional prize fighter. Make them business decisions and not emotional, like, yeah, what's up, I step up type of decisions. Because I'd hate for that to be the beginning of a 3-fight losing streak for Terrence McKinney, because he just wasn't as prepared. And Drew Dober's one hell of a step up.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, no matter what the situation is, Terrence McKinney does somewhat lose a little bit of that hype because of that. There is a price to pay. And, you know, I think the UFC helps you out in the moment, but I think they forget about you the next month, you know, and then the month after that. So I think fighters need to be a little bit more selfish now.
Oh, yeah. When you're the toast of the town with the interviews and that bonus check and, you know, you're floating around the offices because you stay back before you fly home. So you're at the PI and you're getting the fist bumps. It's all fine and dandy. But, boy, does it come to a screeching halt when you take that L, you know. And then it's a few months before you can get back on that horse because they got so many fighters that they have to give contracts to. Remember, they're already filling up the July card, working on August, you know, whether they've released it or not. Behind the scenes, that's what they're telling us. So McKinney, unless he gets in there kind of on late notice, he may be looking at August or September for another turnaround. So again, if you can make it worth your time compensation-wise, I get it, great, but, you know, just be mindful of that. Sadiq Youssef defeated Alex Caceres. Big fight for Caceres. I think he had won 4 or 5 in a row, and this would have maybe given him that one shot to not just kind of be a little bit of a journeyman that he's been. I like him. He's exciting. Don't get me wrong. I like his style. I like his shtick. But this was one time where he could really get some serious consideration for the rankings had he gotten past Sadiq Youssef, and he lost. And for Sadiq Youssef, who hasn't fought too frequently in the last few years, every seems like he fights once a year, you know, big win for him to stay relevant, I guess. He's got a nice record, but again, he just doesn't fight too often. A few of his fights have been going to decisions as of late. He's now 12-2. Yadong Song defeated Marlon Moraes. Beautiful uppercut, TKO stoppage there. And for Moraes, boy, my heart breaks because I think he's lost like four in a row or something like that. You never know, man. This might be it for him because he's handsomely paid as well. And any thoughts on those two before we get to the main event?
I thought Caceres actually had decent position early on in that fight that he could have capitalized on. Mm-hmm. You have to give Sadiq Youssef his props for getting out of that and just making it all about him in that fight. And then Marlon Moraes, my God, like, it's just sad because of everything he did to prepare for that fight. And it was over so quickly. You know, who knows? When he says this is it for me, I think he maybe means title aspirations.
Probably. Because
you could still throw him, especially, you know, when you think about his management and you look at like an Eagle FC, I could see him pop up somewhere like that. But, you know, anywhere you plug him in, he would still be a lot of fun. It's just, I don't know that we'd all consider him a title contender.
Yeah. So can he make a living somewhere? Yes, he can. Because he's got a name. He's still better than 95% of the bantamweights in the world. But yes, as far as making a run for the title, that may have been it. When he fought for the vacant title, I believe, versus Henry Cejudo after TJ Dillashaw vacated, that may have been it. He beat Jose Aldo after that, but then he lost to Corey Sandhagen, Rob Font, Merab Dvalishvili, and Yadong Song. And against Dvalishvili goes, that was it. That would have been the one that would have stopped the two-fight losing streak, given him his, you know, all of his bonuses or whatever, and breathed some life into him. But Merab came back, and now with what Yadong Song has done, now he's lost four in a row, and that's the part that, you know, where the UFC huddles up a little bit and has to make a decision. Mm-hmm. But yeah, will he have a home somewhere? Sure. He always will. He'll still compete. And that's good because he can provide for his family. But title aspirations in the UFC, it'll be tough to come back from this. The main event had Magomed Ankalaev defeating Thiago Santos. Goes, this one I was just expecting to be one hell of a barn burner, and it was just kind of a flat sparring match.
Yeah, I think sparring match is a good analogy. I thought they would hit the ground a little bit more. It was really, really odd, the kind of the strategy that both guys did. The thing about Santos was he would explode for moments, and then for moments he would just get lost up in the fight. It was weird. But I think that's what kind of made that – it did fall a little flat, and it did make the card feel that way. When the card, in actuality, when you lump up everything together, it wasn't like that.
Yeah. There's really not too much to say. I don't think Ankalaev gets a title shot out of this fight. And for Thiago Santos, you know, we were expecting those two knees to get repaired and for him and Jones to get back in there and give us another classic. But Jones has been out of the sport for 2 years. Santos has taken, you know, a few L's here, a win there, and he just hasn't been able to get himself back to where he once was. And he's also older now. I believe he's 38. So who knows, man? Him and Marias and a few guys are fighting father time and their opponent. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the main event on Monday, there's nothing goes and I would rather do than to just, you know, trade superlatives and tell you about how beautiful the main event was. And in this one, it just didn't deliver. So over at Bellator, which followed the UFC, Adam Borx defeated Mads Burnell. Phil Davis defeated Julius Anglicus. Johnny Eblen defeated John Salter. Gadzu Rabanov defeated J.J. Wilson. Alex Polizzi defeated Jose Augusto Azevedo. Romero Cotton, defeated Freddie Sandoval. Diana Avsaragova defeated Kiera Batara. Cody Law defeated James Adcock. No, Adcock, excuse me. Roman Feraldo defeated Kelvin Rayford. Jordan Howard defeated Trevor Ward. And Nico Alcaraz defeated Stanton Ketcherside. You know, scrolling right back to the top, Davis and Anglicus, Borix and Burnell, even the Eblen-Salter fight. I think all the main event was all decisions goes very slow pacing, but I was happy for Phil Davis and Adam Borg.
Yeah, it was a little bit slower, but the Borch fight was interesting. That was fun for being a decision. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was. So
Borch backed up everything he said. Everything he said, he backed up. So
Danny was he was an underdog too, so that was good for anyone that took a chance on him. Just a couple quick notes here on the news side. It wasn't like a ton of stuff happening, but Dustin Poirier, you know, he was in Vegas. He didn't offer too much in terms of Covington and the personal call-outs, but he did state he doesn't want to fight him. Are you happy that that's the case goes? Just keep them in their separate divisions?
100%. I couldn't be happier that he took that route. It just didn't make sense for me from the get-go, and I don't even know if come the night of, I would have been happy about it. There's just a big size discrepancy. No sense in, like, every beef doesn't have to play out in the octagon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, other than that, I guess my main question to you would be, Fedor, I guess, had a fight that was going to happen in Russia. I brought up Russia earlier, and Scott Coker said it was going to take place in Red Square. But now that's no longer happening. But I do like Coker's visionary a little bit. I really wanted to ask them if they're going to head back to the Roman Coliseum idea now that the pandemic's over. But we kind of kept it short with them last week. But do you even want to see Fedor fight anymore?
I wouldn't mind it knowing that this is the last one. But if this guy was Tom Brady-esque where you just don't know if he's coming back or what, then, yeah, I start to get over it a little bit. But knowing that this is the last one, I would like to see that play out and watch that as a fan, knowing this is going to be the last time I'm going to watch him.
He's 45, and nothing better than Fedor winning a fight via KO. I really love watching him fight, but it breaks my heart if he fights again and gets knocked out.
Yeah.
It'll be like, oh, now what do we do? You know, like, again, off of a win, just call it Fedor. You know, it was great that Scott Coker revealed that, but I think it's time to call it. All right, look, we're going to keep it prim and proper for today. Gave you a ton of results, touched on a couple of the latest storylines. And we didn't have a guest to interview for today, but we will definitely have a guest for Thursday's show. But I want you all to think about it. You know, hit us up on social media. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at the Goes. And tell us, was that too much MMA? I mean, that was like five fight cards that we covered, not to mention Brave and LFA. And I'm sure there's even a heck of more organizations that were happening. But were some of you like, yeah, that's what's up. Multiple TVs and streams. Give me that every week. Or was it too much? Did your brain finally, you know, just go on tilt? I'm curious. Again, I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at the Goes. And we are at MMA Junkie Radio. And catch us on Spinning Backlick every week over at youtube.com/ MMA Junkie Video. That's where you can catch our full interviews with the fighters. When you see recaps on MMA Junkie with just a few video highlights, the whole interview is over at youtube.com/ MMA Junkie Video. All right, with that, we're out of here. Enjoy your Monday, and we'll see you all on Thursday. Go out there and be a champion.